There's so much happening in the world with COVID-19 and the uncertainties around states reopening and now nationwide protests against police brutality. It's a lot to grasp as an adult, even more so for children. So how can parents recognize and address children's stresses and anxieties about it all? To talk about this, I'm joined by Corinne Edwards, a therapist specializing in working with children who experience trauma. Welcome.
Thank you, Tanya.
I can imagine this is all age dependent, but can you talk about some signs of trauma in children specifically as it relates to what's happening in the world around us? What are the signs that we should be looking for?
So I think when we think about symptoms of stress for children or distress or even trauma, we think about them on a continuum. So I think many parents can relate to seeing symptoms of distress in their children, where it may be, for example, for younger children, seeing regressive type behaviors like more whining, more clinginess, disrupted sleep, which moves into more middle of the continuum. And then when we think of more trauma type symptoms, we're thinking about things like bedwetting, toileting issues. For teenagers, it might be excessive isolation beyond what we think of as the norm for teenagers. Expressions of hopelessness, expanded fears. So children projecting their fears, for example, at nighttime and being more afraid to go to sleep at night. So I think you're right that it's age specific, but the theme being regressive type behaviors and then an expansion and an intensifying of disruptive feelings.
Yeah. I want to talk with you a little bit more about how parents can help mitigate those fears and lessen that stress with children during this time. But I want to get to some questions that we have from some of the children in our lives about how they're processing the world around them. And our first one comes from 11-year-old Logan in San Diego about his fears of returning to school in the age of COVID-19.
Well, if they do open schools, like I would be excited, but like, oh, is everyone going to get sick or something? Because I don't want like everyone to die.
How do you reassure a child like Logan about his fears? He's hearing so much information and really what he might encounter in the future.
Yeah, and so I think that what's so unique about the situation that we're in with COVID-19 is that we as parents are sharing these fears with our children. That oftentimes when our children are experiencing fears or distress, we're able to console them and give them perspective. And so it's hard to be going through it at the same time as our children. And I think what's so difficult with the pandemic is the fact that there is such unpredictability. And it can be incredibly overwhelming. But what the tool that parents have that they can utilize and is so accessible is their ability to connect with their child. And so what makes stress tolerable for children is having an adult to connect with and buffer from the stress. So a child just being heard and validated in their fears does an incredible amount to make that stress tolerable. And for them to receive messages of safety from their parents that they're not alone, that they're heard, and that we're going to get through this together.
Our next question comes from 14-year-old Isabel, and she's thinking about her new reality of homeschooling. Let's listen.
I think it's going to be weird, and I think it's going to feel weird to like meet new people and the new teachers online. How do you transition from an old environment to a new one with new people and new faces and interact with this lockdown and COVID-19?
And what's really interesting about this, Corinne, is that Isabel is entering high school. So she's been thinking about this moment in her life for so long, going to a new school, meeting new teachers, meeting new friends. But there's a potential that this might all happen online for her in the fall. What are some tools that she and her parents can actually impart to help her navigate this new experience?
Yeah, I think she so nicely expressed what so many have been facing is how to deal with this new version of kind of virtually interacting with the world. And so one of the things that we'd need to reframe for her and for other children with these same concerns is that what we previously viewed as impersonal, right, that this virtual connection would seem so impersonal, may now be what we have to access to make it personal. And so I think that her parents would be able to reassure her that as hard as this is and how, as strange of an adjustment as it is for all of us, it's what we have right now. And we need to start finding ways to get adjusted and more comfortable with this way of interacting. And so, for example, they might have her start increasing some virtual connections with her friends to get more comfortable with herself on the computer, just to, you know, get past the glitches and how to work the computer so that it's in more of a flow, so that that way she can be focused on more of the actual connection piece of the online schooling.
Yeah. And kids are so resilient. You know, they're more resilient many times than adults, nimble in change.
Mm-hmm. And I think as parents, so often the kind of gut reaction is to prevent the stress and make sure and avoid it and make sure your child doesn't experience any of it. But what we know is that how resilience is built in the brain is through exposure to stress, which we can call a rupture, but the repair after that exposure or after that rupture. Mm. So for parents, they can kind of assuage their own anxiety by knowing that, yes, this is hard for your child, but your child learning these skills to cope with this is what's going to make them more resilient.
Our next one is a comment, which actually comes from my son, Hudson, who's 7. He's been talking a lot about his eagerness to get back to normal, to do all of the fun things he used to love to do, like going to the grocery store with us. Let's listen.
Well, what I miss is having to go into the store with my parents, and they're always like, Hudson, stay in the car. Why can't I just come with them? And I also miss school because, like, you know, it's more fun at school because, like, lunch is kind of boring because lunch at school, you, like, get to talk with your friends, and we can't have recess at home.
What's really interesting about a child Hudson's age is that they aren't technologically savvy in the way of being able to build connections on their own with their friends and build that new sense of normalcy while also having the connectedness and the social part of school. What are some of your thoughts for how to navigate this with your younger children?
Yeah, and I love how beautifully he highlighted what is important to children in his developmental stage, that recess where you're moving your body while also still socially engaging with your friends is so important for their little bodies and their nervous systems and their brain development. And it is hard to have those kind of Zoom meetings match that for them. They aren't as reliant on their social system in terms of their peers for their identity. So, like, for example, teens really need their peers as part of their identity. But for young children, parents can fill that void for them. So parents taking some of that time to play with their child, to engage in some of that movement while socially engaging. So, like, I know a lot of parents have been walking more with their kids or taking a bike ride or going outside and just even throwing a ball for a little bit. So mimicking a little bit of what they're lacking in their life will go a very far way for younger children.
There are also these larger fears for older children, like my 13-year-old daughter, who now has the agency to look up the news for herself. And she's reading a lot of stuff on social media about the death of George Floyd, the protests that are happening throughout the country. She has expressed fears about walking the dog in the evening, that she might get shot. It's horrifying to hear your children express these fears, but it's also reality. What's your advice to parents to help their children navigate these types of issues?
So as difficult as this time period is, it's also a chance to teach our children about how we want to consume the news and how we want to access social media. And so what is going to be the line between accessing information that you need, accessing social media to feel somewhat connected to what's happening around our country and around the world, but not doing it to the degree where it's going to move you outside your window of tolerance of distress or where it's going to put you in a place where you feel so hopeless and powerless and shut down and numb. And so, for example, for your daughter, that would be a personal decision, and that would be something that you would be discussing with her. And the body is an incredible anchor for safety. So when does she start to feel it in her body that she's starting to reach her max of the news or social media? And it can give us this false sense of control, right? That if I can get enough information, then I would have enough control and be able to predict more in this time of uncertainty. But I think, again, it comes back to this idea of connecting with our children so that we can start having these conversations and not leaping into this role of telling them not to worry about it, or it's not a big deal, or it won't affect them, but hearing and validating their feelings and then collaborating with them on the support that they need so that they feel seen and heard, and then helping them come up with ideas of what is, so for teenagers especially, what would help increase feelings of safety? What would help decrease feelings of powerlessness?
That's Corinne Edwards. She's a therapist specializing in trauma. This is great advice. Thank you so much, Corinne.
Thank you, Tanya.